Audio Drama Production Podcast, Episode 45. What Makes an Audio Story? With Jack Ward.
The Audio Drama Production Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Audio Drama Production Podcast. My name is Robert.
And my name is Matthew.
If you're a new listener, welcome to the podcast. What this is all about really is to help you create great audio drama. We look to bring you interviews and features covering things like production, script writing and voice acting, amongst others. But what are we focusing on this week, Matthew?
Well, we're going to leave the listener in the very capable hands of Mr. Jack Ward. Jack, the man behind the Sonic Society, sort of audio drama stalwart, if you like, who's been in the game a long time. Jack was on the show a few episodes ago, but he's very kindly got in touch and sent in an audio clip, which, by the way, you, the listener, are more than welcome to do as well if you've ever any subject that you'd like to cover on the podcast. But Jack sent in a clip, and I will say it's a bit more academic than our usual content, than what we usually try and do on the podcast, but I think it's a really good piece, a lot of interesting points and a lot of very good clips as well. So, you know, I think it's certainly worth sticking around for and having a wee listen to, and we hope you enjoy it.
We're nothing if not varied on this podcast.
So, shall we?
Let's hear from our man in Canada.
My Unified Theory of the Audio Story by Jack J. Ward. How is an audio story represented? Is there a way to best articulate all the kinds of stories you can have in audio? I'm Jack Ward from the Sonic Society. Audio has all kinds of kinship with any other form of story medium. There's plot and character and setting, theme, point of view or perspective, and satire and genre and tone and mood, etc. But when you're talking about what represents the completed form that the audio story can take, how would that look? Well, I think since we're all audio drama enthusiasts, it begins here. Where we're standing now is the first point, which we call simply drama. Pure audio drama occurs directly and immediately. It is the real-time unraveling of the story happening to the character or characters. Like any other form of play, drama is an experience that is happening to the listener. Sure, there's time frames, like any other kind of story, but the plot reveals itself to the listeners through the experiences of the characters in the drama. For example, in my audio series Gate, in which a young teenager discovers that something strange is happening to her, through dialogue the audience discovers that something isn't quite right with Gate's parents.
Stay away from me! Please! Please! Ah!
Hey, settle down, kitten.
What? Dad?
You're going to be late for school. Bad dream?
Can't remember.
Well, you're all right now.
Raincoats. I hate the raincoat people.
Raincoat people?
Yeah, like... Whoa.
Dizzy?
Yeah. How long did I sleep?
You went right to bed after dinner. You were wiped.
I did?
Sure. Don't you remember? You didn't even eat dessert. Let me see your forehead. It's not hot. How are you feeling?
Just really tired, and a little numb.
Maybe you're coming down with a cold.
Maybe.
You'd better not get sick. Somebody has a birthday tomorrow.
Great.
No way, kitten. You're getting out of bed and going to school.
If you really love me, you'd let me sleep longer.
There's two things in life you can be certain of, that you have to pay taxes, and you have to leave your bed.
Mom?
What is it? What's wrong?
Mom. Get Mom.
I don't understand. Did I do something?
Please, just... Mom!
For heaven's sakes, what's going on up here?
I need to talk to Mom.
Of course, Gadiel.
It's just a woman thing.
Oh. Of course, Skate. I'll just be down with the cereal. Yeah.
Now, what's this all about, Gate?
Mom, those marks on my leg and arm.
Yes, honey?
They're all the way up my body now.
Wow. Look at you.
Yes, look at me, Mother. Look at me.
It's almost your birthday. What did you expect?
Not this.
It's not so bad.
Not so bad? The mirror doesn't lie, Mother. I'm
Gate, honey, are you okay?
Blood. Tissue, please. Blood.
Oh, my poor baby.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop trying to calm me down!
Gate McNeil, pull yourself together.
Mom, doesn't it even matter to you?
What?
I'm going to die.
I told you, the marks will...
I'm not talking about the marks!
Is everything okay? I heard a...
It's fine. She just knocked over a mirror. That's all.
Gate? Honey?
I'm okay. I'll be down for breakfast in a minute.
Okay. Okay, Gate. I'll make your favorite.
Thanks, Dad.
Now dry your eyes.
It's just... we won't talk about it.
We don't want to scare you, honey. You know your dad.
TB is scary, Mom. You can't cover it up. And the doctor said...
Forget about what the doctor said.
But...
One crisis at a time. Aren't you glad you don't wear makeup? You'd be smeared everywhere.
So I can wear makeup?
One crisis at a time. There's still alternatives.
But they said that it's resistant to antibodies.
There's alternatives. Trust me, Gate.
I suppose. I won't die from it before tomorrow. It'll take...
You won't die from tuberculosis, regardless.
Look at me, Mom. The marks are all over my skin. They're all black like bruises. But I...
You what?
I used some rubbing alcohol.
What?
Just in case they were infected. The black came off. It's not a bruise. And beneath it, it looked like...
Like what?
Look at my shoulder. Here. It looks like a symbol of some sort.
That's crazy.
No, I rubbed off the black, and the symbol was below. What if they're all symbols? I mean, what if I rubbed off...
Gate, listen to me carefully. You just leave this alone. I know what it looks like, but I promise you it isn't. You go fooling around and you could infect yourself. It'll be all over in a few days. This transition.
Transition? Do you know something?
No. Tomorrow will change everything.
So pure drama is immediate. There's no voiceover, no narrator, no chorus. Nothing clues the characters in as to what is happening in the story but the natural unfolding of events within the play itself. Now, I know what you're thinking. You've heard plenty of audio drama that has lots of narration and inner monologues, and you're right. But I would argue that's an entirely different point in what makes an audio story. For that, we need to get on my Segway and take a trip. That's okay, there's plenty of room. Just hold on. A little tighter there. Yeah. This will just be a quick jaunt. It's a bit of a trip, but if you can imagine a line going from the point of pure drama all the way along here until we're here. The end of the line. This point on our audio story landscape is called narrative. Pure narrative is where audiobooks live. This edge point, called narrative, represents that single voice telling the listeners what occurs or how the story occurs. Narrative is the purest form of storytelling we have. You can imagine Grunk telling the rest of the tribe how he got away from that saber-toothed tiger, that terrible hunting trip. Or you can tune into that pod novel of Scott Sigler.
They aren't the champs, Quentin said. He lowered his hand. We are. Sunday, they're going to learn why. That field we'll play on is black, not blue, but it doesn't matter, because as soon as we set foot on it, we own it. Let's have a good practice, and every minute of it, remember what our jobs are come Sunday. Be excellent as individuals, and we will be unstoppable as a team. Let's get to it. The players jogged to their respective spots to begin practice. There wasn't much hooting and hollering, other than the Sklorno's constant excited squealing, of course. The Krakens knew what had to be done. He and his teammates got to work.
P Pure narrative has no sound effects, and really not even music to, shall we say, muddy the waters of the pure narrative method of storytelling. Now that was strictly Scott Sigler telling the story. The story doesn't have to be in first-person perspective in narrative and third-person in drama. You can alternate or mix up point of view any way you like between the two. As I mentioned before, perspective is not a clear identifier of the audio story. The difference between the two is that narrative is a prosaic style of telling, and drama is the theatrical style of showing the story. So this is why the long segue between drama and narrative, because these two pure forms are extremely rare. Most audio stories aren't confined to clear either-or options. The line between them is actually a road, filled with incredibly exciting choices along the way. For example, if we board our segue again. Yeah, snug up close there. From this last stop of narrative, we can take our first step back towards drama with Searcher and Stallion by Scott Howard.
His head is free. It's dark. The air tastes wrong. His confusion lessens. His mouth is open and dry. He rubs a swollen stick tongue against the roof of his mouth, looking for spit. There isn't any. His eyes are crusted over. A blast of cold air slaps him. He remains still as the world spins around him. The floor becomes a wall and smacks him on his shoulder and head. A thousand tiny needles pierce his face. He feels like throwing up. He's laying on the floor in a near-dark space. He's sweating in a skin-tight, thin jumper. He sees a dull green glow out of the corner of his eye. Shadows jut at awkward angles. The room is full of equipment. He turns to look at the light and pulls a muscle in his neck. He adds this new pain to the myriads of other pains circulating around his body in waves. He sits up too fast. His head swims with vertigo. He crawls on hands and knees, leaning against a cart for support. He can't get warm. The room is filled with wheeled carts.
Notice Howard's use of audio drama is more of a narrative tale told with sound effects and music. Multicast characters in an audiobook are just the next town down towards drama on our road. But if we continue down this road, still on this side of narration, we come up to Black Jack Justice from Dakota Ring Theater, written and corrected by Greg Taylor.
But it seemed that all over the city, any number of dogs were having their days. And our poor old office camera was recording the highlights for a parade of weeping wives and humiliated husbands, each of whom shared two common traits: a profound sense of betrayal, and the possession, however fleeting, of a sum of $35 a day plus expenses. This was all very well and good, but when the door opened and both Mr. and Mrs. Fletcher walked through the door, it was all I could do to keep from leaping out of my chair and throwing the happily married pair of them into a bear hug. So I did what I always do when I was afraid of running off the clientele with uncharacteristic enthusiasm. I smoked a cigarette, looked out the window, and let Trixie do the talking.
The name's Dixon. Trixie Dixon, girl detective. Jack was doing his best to look vaguely disinterested, which I took as my cue. The unfortunate thing about these situations was that Jack's attempts to look aloof usually came across as confused and maybe a little gassy. Not that the prospective clients ever noticed, but I found it all a little distracting. I dealt with this by settling on the edge of Jack's desk, where I couldn't see him without turning around. It all made me look a bit like the help, but it never hurt to play the expectations a little. And if it gave them the image of old Squarejaw as the great detective before they signed on the dotted, well, so much the better. It's not like it was likely to come up again later. I asked them to sit and offered them each a cup of blend of Guatemalan beans that Jack was particularly proud of. He said yes. She just kept crying.
Here, the strong narrations of Jack Justice and Trixie Dixon, girl detective, begin almost every show with their snappy patter. Certainly, you'll find a lot of private detective shows on this middle ground. We could call it Noir Boulevard, or something close to that if it were a neighborhood. But while the patter is narrative, Taylor uses it as a framing device to provide the setting, plot, mood, and even some character drama that is revealed through the rest of the audio in its dramatic story structure. Sure, there'll be more narrative monologues with the main characters, but that's just part of the color along this route. Further down the road, we can find avenues, lanes, and way stations for everything between these two end posts, between narrative and drama. But are both sides really the end? Can we get off this road? Can we jump the line? Well, yes we can. In fact, there's an entirely third destination. Which means our line suddenly becomes a triangle. But now that our audio landscape is larger, let's just do a quick cutscene and get us to our newest position with a fade out. And fade in! Here we are, on our theoretical third point of our representation of audio story. To get here, you have to escape the whole concept of telling one story with a beginning, middle, and an end all together. Welcome to the surreal point I call experimental. In experimental audio, dramatic characters might break the fourth wall with the audience, or rip off into a series of nonsense sketch comedy pieces, or break into improv, or maybe assemble as a puzzle audio in which all the pieces are out of place and it's up to the listener to reassemble them. How weird would that be? Weird and awesome! Along with one of the tracks that leads to drama, but close to the experimental side, you'll find a sketch by Roger Gregg of Crazy Dog Audio Theater on, well, writing audio drama.
Well, yeah, see, it's sort of like two ships passing in the night, that kind of thing. You know, the isolation in the featureless void.
Featureless void.
Yeah, it's an ontological statement, like they're in the middle of a big crowded city and they suffer from loneliness, you know, that kind of thing. That's my theme. It's existential.
What's an existential sound like?
Well, it's an abstraction. It doesn't sound like anything or look like anything or anything.
I see. Do you still have those teaching aids I gave you?
The basic building blocks of writing for audio?
Yep.
Yeah, I still have them in the bag they came in. I never took them out.
You have them here with you now?
Yeah, here they are. Here, in this bag.
Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you now. Okay, would you just lean forward a bit?
Oh, yeah? Like this?
Yeah, that's fine. No, just a little more. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to take this wooden building block.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to do this.
Ow! Get! What are you doing?
It's an existential thing.
It is?
Yes! Now, listen. You're writing for sound, right?
Audio.
Right. So, you watching the blocks?
Yeah, watching the blocks.
Okay. Now you got all these things. Look, the pictures, the emotions, the sights, the settings, the textures, the heat, the smells, the sounds, the tastes, the colors, the stories, the characters, the big 3D virtual technicolor reality, even your abstract concepts. If it's part of your story, then you've got to get it into their head.
Into their head?
Yes. So how's it get there?
Well, the empiricist would say that somehow...
Oh, come on! How's it all get into your mind? Think audio.
Through the ears.
Right! So everything's got to be somehow in sound. Sound. Silent sounds. Fast sounds. Meaningful sounds. Symbolic sounds. Got it?
Got it.
Let's look at your script. Two mimes, right?
Right.
Who are they, and why the hell do we care?
The first mime stands for the businessman. He's under a lot of pressure with no time for anything, and that's why he's got the briefcase and the phone.
And the second mime?
He's a mime.
The second mime is miming the part of a mime?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but he talks.
Oh, yeah, he can talk. It's just that he's too frightened to.
Because we can hear them think, you know.
We can?
Sure. In audio, we can go and reveal whatever we want. Just a little reverb like this.
Slowly, my scheme is set in motion. How like a hapless puppet he plays into my hands. I will hit him with the block.
A little further down the path, although it could be said that the roads around the experimental side of town are windy and not straight, you could very well find the madcap adventures of Kyan Chris Conroy in Technical Difficulties, where he improvs the entire show playing all the characters himself. Conroy lifts the fourth wall up and down so much that the audience is never quite sure if they're watching an audio drama or a performance art piece. Or if there's even a difference.
Not entirely. I did get these brochures about next season's countertop collection. Have a look. Professor, I think with all due respect, we have a lot more to worry about than next season's countertop. Whoa, those are nice.
No, look at the one on the next page there.
Holy crap, is that marble?
That's a synthetic composite. They had samples there. They were amazing. They have come a long way.
Yeah. So what do we do now?
Well, the representative from the company said that this particular line wouldn't be available until March, but we could place a pre-order and have the reception room redone in the spring.
I was talking about hell on Earth being unleashed from the Antarctic.
Way ahead of you. First, we go back to the lab. Then we gather our equipment and our instruments. Then we charter a plane to the Antarctic. And we put a stop to this. And we save mankind. Or my name isn't Professor Lovelace O'Rourke.
Professor Lovelace O'Rourke. Beautiful.
Professor, you never told me, why did you give up your job as a supermodel?
For science, and to save the world.
I thought you said you did save the world while you were a supermodel.
Oh, I did, but there was comparatively less science involved.
Dangerous.
Professor, those dinosaur men get through that door, we're toast.
Then give me the throwing stars and the 357 and stand the hell back.
Right. That should take care of the scaly bastards.
We've been over this before, they're technically birds.
Sorry.
Globetrotting adventurer, master of espionage, and one of the world's most brilliant scientific minds.
Mr. President, I'm back from my mission to New Guinea in Paris, and I'll have you know I defeated the terrorist cell using a scientific principle only I was able to figure out.
Oh, gee whiz, that's a swell thing there. Have a medal.
Oh, all right.
She fights a never-ending battle against unimaginable threats to our world. Except that we imagine them, so that last part's probably not true.
Are you beginning to see the possibilities and the wide swath of real estate that the experimental end of our triangle represents? Fire Sign Theater, The Goon Show, a Dead Dog Cafe. The experimental side of either the narrative or dramatic structure is rife with a variety of options. You could imagine three strong lines leading from the experimental endpoint, one towards narrative, like John Bell's The Devil's Pinata, a mercifully short buckshot comedy adventure. That's the whole title, by the way, and an audio novel full of pratfalls and in-jokes to the listener. Or it could be the path from experimental to drama, like the Gestalt Mind Trip that was Bill Hallweg's and Paul Mannering's Gusu.
Okay, we need to reroute this artery with the one I removed from his leg. That'll hurt, but maybe he'll stop the drug use when his leg reminds him of his stay here at Arizona General. Rock stars. He's got money. I could be working on someone who might actually give a damn. I bet within a month he'll be back to the parties and the drugs. I'm not the judge's advocate, although I should be. Here goes.
What? I ask you, what right does this doctor have to judge me? Sorry. This memory is kind of vivid. Where was I? On the operating table. Right. And that's when it happened.
Okay, hold that clamp tight, and now I... Here, hold this. Everyone steady. I've got this man's life in my hand, and I'm palpitating. The heart muscle. Damn it!
Need a smoke, friend? No? Okay. Well, I didn't know it then. Found out a little after my funeral that a funny thing happened in the operating theater that day. The doctor somehow stole my soul. He just reached in and took it, like he was swiping loose change.
I still don't understand what happened to part of my soul when I listened to Gusu the first time. I have this weird feeling that it turned into kippers and tastes like yellow. The middle path, starting from experimental but leading directly between drama and narrative, could represent a whole lot of live theater groups who experiment with audio drama but provide a lot of narrative insight through announcer or master of ceremonies or a monologue or an aside to the listening audience. In fact, if I were to place a series of towns and hamlets in this theoretical midline straight down our triangle, I think you'd find Chatterbox Audio Theater with Bob Arnold. Chatterbox likes to play with ideas, and they aren't afraid of trying new things to bring out the amazing power of the audio story. Other great experimental live companies that you might find in your neighborhood are Texas Radio Theater, Coyote Radio, Zombie Astronauts Frequency of Fear Light, although that's not really live, Atlantic Radio Theater, Third Coast Live, Great Northern Audio, The Thrilling Adventure Hour, and so many, many more. There's lots of laughs and psychedelic trips on the experimental side, but it doesn't have to be all comedy. It could be music, like Cosmo and Roberta, which I would place a little further down towards narrative.
Cosmo and Roberta boarded a rocket ship destined for a distant and yet unpopulated planet, along with a shipload of other colonizers looking for a new life.
Howdy, this is your pilot. Don't be alarmed now. Two policemen will be coming on board to run a routine humanity check. That's all.
The policemen entered with their robot scanners. They checked everyone out until one of them came to Cosmo and Roberta, who were clinging to each other for dear life.
Honeymooners, huh? Yes, sir, I remember my first honeymoon. Oh, a little blip there. Do you have anything metallic on your person?
Just my watch.
Okay, everything checks out on this end, Frank.
Now you two kids take care of each other, huh?
And with that, the police departed.
Okay, everybody. Borealis, here we come.
Saying is every spoken word audio art of one kind or another can be placed somewhere in our triangle of audio story. That is, every story has a neighborhood and plot between these three points of drama, narrative, and experimental audio. In fact, if you can identify proximity of stories somewhere in the triangle, then you've identified at least the character of the organization producing the work and the style of the author. What I mean is, if I know that a story from Pete Lutz, who writes both original scripts and scripts based on stories from the public domain, fit a particular area, which is mostly drama, but also formed with a strong narrative introduction, and slightly upwards into the experimental country of pulp, then I know the character of pulpery theater, and the writing style of Lutz's work. I can see where he's similar and also different from the folks at Harrison Quest, where the Sons of Ford are much further down the line between experimental and drama as they run a continual story about how they want Harrison Ford to star in their movie. So where do you fit? Where would you place your own preference for story writing and for story listening? Because they can be totally different. You may love In the Gloaming, but write from H.G. World. So, we have the three points of possibilities of drama, narrative, and experimental, which represent the outer edges of audio story, and all the places in between are the personalities and styles of all the artists in the audio verse. Your head hurt yet? Well, take two aspirins, swallow a shot of your favorite fire water, because we're not done yet. To properly encapsulate the entire audio landscape, we need to go 3D. And that's in part two.
Thank you very much to Jack Ward for that informative piece. So, if you want to follow us further, you can get us at our home, which is audiodramaproduction.com. If you want to email us, it's podcast@audiodramaproduction.com. And there's also even the Facebook group where we're often hanging out, aren't we?
That's right, you could find us there sometimes, as well as lots of other really, really good producers, voice actors, composers, artists, audio drama enthusiasts, and just all-round nice people.
Yeah, so that's about it for this week. If you've got any ideas, anything you want covered, then please get in touch via the aforementioned avenues. We'd love to hear from you. And in the meantime, I think that's about it.
Yes, have a good week, and we'll reconvene in 7 days.
Stay frosty.